Good morning, everyone. It's a wonderful privilege for me to be here with my family this morning and to just preach the Word of God. And I'm coming this morning with such an expectancy, not because of my eloquence or not because of anything that I think I can just give to you this morning, but I truly believe that there's something that God would want to depart in each and every single one of us. And I pray that this morning, even as I preach, I mean, you can already hear that I'm quite a you know, sommer lekker energiek. So I am from Welkom. So in Welkom, wanneer mense preek, kan jy sommer sê amen. You know, so you're more than welcome this morning. If you hear something that you feel like, man, that is good, and it feels like it's for me, you're more than welcome to just say amen. But I'm really, really, really expectant as I was just praying and just seeking the Lord and this week really wrestling with, Lord, what is it that you want to deposit into this congregation? And really wanting to hear, because I'm coming this morning well aware of the fact that there's something that God is busy doing in Somerset West and this congregation. And this morning, I want to be very careful to come into the slipstream of what it is that God is already doing. I don't want to come here and do, you know, something that I think, you know, it's best to do. So I vacillated between preachers and I was saying, Lord, I don't want to pray or preach on the Holy Spirit just because it's Pentecost Sunday. But nonetheless, as I was praying, I actually felt like that's where God actually wanted to land this morning. So I'll be preaching this morning about the continual filling of the Holy Spirit. The continual filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm well aware that even as we are seated here, there's some of us who've walked with the Lord for many, many, many years, who've had encounters with the Holy Spirit, who've seen things, who've experienced deliverances and healings and speaking in tongues and prophecy and all of these different things. But I'm also well aware that there's some of us this morning who are coming into this space and you are maybe a little bit nervous. Even as you hear about, you know, someone preaching about the Holy Spirit, there's almost a bit of trauma that's at the back of your mind because you haven't had a positive experience with what this really is. So I want to set you at peace this morning to say, I truly believe that the Holy Spirit is gentle. So whatever it is that He wants to do this morning, all He's inviting you to do is to open up your heart. I'm not going to try to be weird or to be somehow strange or whatever I'm going to do. I'm simply just asking, even before we go into this preach, that we would simply open up our hearts and see what it is that God would want to do. So 800 years actually before Christ, a prophet by the name of Joel prophesied one of the most incredible prophecies that you'll find in the Bible. And he prophesied that there would come a time where the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. And as we read about this outpouring that would happen, we see that it's an outpouring that wouldn't just be silent or just something that is unnoticed. It's something that when it happens, it will be evident to all. That it will be clear that God is busy doing something. It will be something that would shake and actually disrupt the religious order and the religious world of Jerusalem. Because it will be something that has never been seen, something that has never been heard, and then something that has never been experienced. And we read about this in Joel 2, verse 28 to 29, where it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." There's something, even as I read that in my own spirit, as I'm preaching right now, I'm like, Lord, I know this was a prophecy 800 years before Christ came, but even today, I truly believe that it's God's desire to actually pour out His Spirit upon us. And this morning, I believe that God is calling us to a place of hunger, a place of actually opening up our hearts, a place of recognizing that we cannot do this thing called Christianity without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That this morning I cannot come with my own ideas and my own things, concepts that I think is going to change anyone's lives. But it's actually when people have an encounter with the Holy Spirit that their lives are never ever the same again. So I believe that God's intention this morning is to actually, for some of us, maybe you are at a place where you have experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit. And for you, I believe God would want to do it again.
And for some of us who actually haven't experienced what it feels like to actually be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting this morning that we'll actually create an opportunity where we can pray for you, lay our hands on you, and actually trust with you that God would come and do a work that only He can do by His Spirit. So this morning, the first point that I want to make is I truly believe that God desires to pour out His Spirit. I believe that with all of my heart. I grew up in the Free State in a Xhosa family, and in a lot of black cultures in South Africa, there's a lot of spiritual activity. So even as a young man, you didn't have to convince me that there's a spiritual world. You didn't have to convince me that there are forces that are at work that we can't see with our own eyes, forces that are they work overtime. You didn't convince me because these are things that I experienced in my own life. It's things that I would see my family members experiencing. It's things that I would see, you know, everyone in my community and my township actually experiencing. As I came to Christ at an age of 16, I came to this conclusion that if there's a spiritual darkness or there are spiritual forces that are at work, then obviously there should be a Holy Spirit that is also at work and that is actually more powerful than the spirits that are at work. So this morning, I truly believe that, man, as a believer in this day and age, in the world that we're living in today, where it's so impossible to convince people actually of the reality of Christ, we need this more than ever. We need to be a people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, because people are not going to be changed by concepts. They're not going to be changed by our strategies and our formulas. They're going to change by encountering the Holy Spirit. So God desires to pour out His Spirit. So it had been nearly 2,000 years since the great outpouring of Pentecost today. It's 2,000 years ago that the Holy Spirit was poured. And I truly believe just like it was poured out then, you know, with the early disciples, I believe that God still desires to do that today. And I truly believe this because it's not something that I'm thumb-sucking this morning, but it's something that I actually see in the Scriptures. That even as we fast forward, you know, a couple of hundred years after Joel prophesied this prophecy that one day people are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we see a picture of another prophet called John, actually also prophesying something that is similar to that. And we see this in Matthew 3, where people are actually flocking out to John, and they are convicted with the message of repentance that Paul or that John was actually preaching, to turn back of their old ways and to give their lives actually to God and to the kingdom of God. And we see many people actually coming, and then in the middle of all of that activity that's busy happening, we see John uttering the following words. So in Matthew 3, verse 11, it says, "I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry." And then listen to these last words. John says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So we see many, many years, a couple of hundred years, also almost 800 years after Joel had prophesied, John comes and he prophesies the very same thing, that after me comes a man, and that man's desire is to actually not just to baptize you with water, but to also baptize you with the Holy Spirit and also with fire. And then we see this idea actually being extended further. And even Jesus, before departing his disciples, he said to them in John 20, verse 21 to 22, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And I want you just for a moment to pause with me. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the early disciples as they spent time with Jesus. And Jesus actually taking time to pause and to say, I actually want you to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm wondering what are some of the things that they did afterward. I'm wondering what are some of the things that God did through them after this moment. And we'll see, even as we journey further in the Scriptures this morning, that this wasn't the only time when they received the Holy Spirit, that actually in their lives there was a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm trusting this morning that the Bible will actually do the talking for me, and I will actually hide myself behind the Bible. So again, we see in these Scriptures that it is God's desire, just like in the early church, to pour out His Spirit to us today in Somerset West in a day and age that we are living in. And then number two, the point that I want to make is the Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And then in Acts 1 verse 4 to 5 and then also verse 8, we read the following. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And then verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So it is quite interesting for me this morning when I read these scriptures. It is astonishing that although Jesus had already, we just read about it now in John 20, that he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then although that happened, we see again Jesus giving his Spirit later in the scripture in Acts 1 verse 4 saying, "Hey guys, I actually want to remind you that I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when this Holy Spirit comes, he's going to empower you to be witnesses that you otherwise cannot be without the empowering of the Spirit." So I'm wondering this morning, I know even as we think about evangelism and making disciples and all of these things, that sometimes we tend to be scared to share the gospel with people. And Paul says in Romans 1:16 that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. And I wonder, isn't the fact that we're struggling today in our day and age with evangelism and making disciples, isn't it because not that we don't know the Bible, not that we don't know the concepts, but because we haven't actually allowed the Holy Spirit to empower us to be with the witnesses that God would actually want us to be? So I believe this morning that for some of us who maybe are finding themselves in a space where it feels like you're walking with a little bit of a limp in your walk with God, I truly believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit that God would want to come this morning and he wants to touch you so that you can move in the fullness of what it is that he has for you. So fulfilling the Great Commission is not merely a matter of words and concepts and frameworks and the scriptures that we memorize, but it's bearing witness with power. You know, and that power doesn't come from us. It's a power that we receive from God himself. So once again, could it be that we're failing in this, not because we don't know the Bible, not because we don't know the things that we ought to share, but because we haven't allowed and we haven't leaned into the Holy Spirit? So I want to call us this morning to almost lean out of your knowledge, you know, to actually lean out of your flesh. You know, lean out of what you can do, out of your arguments, out of your formulas, out of your experiences and what you've seen, and actually lean into the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. So Acts 2 verse 1 to 4 says the following. It says, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I mean, how incredible is this? That a couple of days ago, Jesus said, I need you guys to go into the upper room and I need you guys to wait with expectancy that something would come and a work would happen. And that actually for those who were faithful, Jesus didn't only have 120 disciples. You know, I believe we know that this morning that he had actually much more, many, many, many disciples. But these 120 people are the people actually that listened to Jesus. As he said, I want you guys to wait until this thing comes. And they were faithful to wait in prayer, you know, asking God and desiring that God would actually fill them with the Holy Spirit. And we read in Acts 2 that the day finally came that was prophesied 800 years ago that the Holy Spirit would come and would actually fill all of them. All 120 people were filled without any exception. And I want you for a moment just to think of this. I find it quite funny in a good way, the fact that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was actually part of the 120. That the mother who gave birth, you know, to our Savior, actually was among those who were filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, I find that just an astonishing thing just to think of that. You know, to say, man, God actually desires that every single one of us, that this is something that is not spared for the elders of this church or for the deacons of this church or for those who are elite or those who are super spiritual, but actually it's God's desire that every single one of us in this space would actually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And for a moment, I want to speak to those of us who are maybe mature in our age and you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I've had my days of walking with Jesus. You know, where you think I've had my days of actually being fruitful in the kingdom of God. I feel like there's something specific and something special that God would want to remind, you know, in a respect with our senior citizens in this room right now, to say that God also desired to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because your work on this earth is not done yet. That we need you to run in the fullness of what God has for you. Because there's something that happens as young people, as we are walking with Jesus and trying to live out this thing as best as we can. There's something special that happens when we see our grandfathers and our grandmothers and those who've walked before us actually being filled with the Holy Spirit, full cylinders, walking out this salvation thing. There's something that happens in us where it creates a hope in us to say, we too can run in the fullness of what God has for us. So I want to say this morning that if you find yourself in a space where you think, I've had my days, and you've almost kind of disqualified yourself and said, this thing is only for those people. It's only for the young people. It's only for those who are super gifted and spiritual. I want to say this thing is for you as well this morning. That it is desire that you too will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So as the Spirit rests upon them, the evidence that they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit in this instance, and it's not the only evidence, but that is that they began to actually speak in tongues. And for a moment, I want to speak to those who, I know there are some of us in this room this morning where, specifically in this area, that you probably were made, you know, to be unspiritual or not filled with the Holy Spirit because you didn't speak in tongues. And this morning, I truly believe that God would come and actually would come and want to do a work of restoration and a work of healing. You know, to say that if you find yourself in the past where people have made you, you know, almost belittled you spiritually because you couldn't speak in tongues, I truly believe this is something that God actually would want all of us to actually be filled with. Paul says, I speak within tongues more than any of you. It's actually God's desire to fill us. But I want to say that if you haven't experienced that and you've actually been hurt in this area, I feel like God would want to come and actually just do a work of healing this morning. To show you that this is something that we cannot force it on you. We cannot pray it, you know, like in you and push you into it. But it's actually something that comes from the Godhead, from the Holy Spirit. But I do know that when the Holy Spirit fills us, that our lives are never ever the same again. That there's something that happens in us. I remember as a young man, age of 16, I was radically saved out of many, many different things. I grew up without a father. And in the Free State, the place that I grew up in Valcom was actually a very gang-infested area. Drugs and alcohol and gangsterism. And I was actually being groomed to be a part of a gang in my community. But I remember the first time when I heard the gospel and I actually understood, then the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes to figure out that actually God can actually be my father. And that actually He can give me a spirit of adoption by which I can be transformed into an orphan and one who doesn't have parents or one who doesn't have a father to actually being a son of God. I remember just grasping this truth and something in me just got lit up. You know, it felt like God came and He lit a fire in me. And as a young man, 16 years old, I didn't understand the fullness of the gospel. I didn't understand, you know, the fullness of the Bible. But I knew one thing, that my life had been changed and my life had been transformed. And if my life could be changed while I was so far away from God, I knew that others as well could be transformed and others could be changed. So then what I started doing is every Sunday morning before we'd go to church, as a 16-year-old, I had a friend of mine who was 17, and then one of our pastors, just to make sure that we didn't mess this thing up, he would actually come with us. And what we would do is we would walk street by street, and we would actually preach the gospel with our voices, just out loud, as we were walking in the streets. And I remember one Sunday morning, where as we were preaching the gospel, we came into my street where I stayed. And one of my friends was actually busy ministering and preaching, and I thought to myself, oh Lord, please don't allow my pastor to ask me to preach now. We're in our street. People know me here. Please, don't let this happen. And lo and behold, my words were not even called. My friend stopped, and then my pastor looked at me and he said, Godfrey, it's your turn to preach. You know, and I thought to myself, oh man, this is not going to be fun. So, but I went into my street and I started preaching the gospel. And I remember a picture of my mother actually coming out of our house as I was preaching. And she looked at me and then immediately she ran into the house. And I was very curious about this preacher because I thought to myself, what's happening here? And when I came home after church, I asked my mother, what happened, you know? And my mother said, my son, I know that you described to me that you had found salvation, that Jesus had transformed your life. But there's something about this morning as I walked out of the house and as I looked at you and just saw the light that you were emulating and the passion that was coming out of your voice and seeing the transformation work of Jesus Christ, I couldn't hold myself. Like I had to go into the house and to just, you know, just shed a bit of tears because I can see that your life has truly been transformed. And that is what the Holy Spirit comes to do. He doesn't come, you know, to make us people who are shiny where we prophesy over people and it's all about us and building our ministries and our platforms. He doesn't do this. He comes to change us and to transform us. And this morning, I believe He wants to do the same for you. So I want us to consider just an example in Acts 4 this morning, just on the evidence of what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that He actually does empower us. So Acts 4 verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And this is an incredible picture. That the apostles had just been arrested for preaching the gospel, and that the believers actually gathered in someone's house and they were busy praying that those apostles would be released actually, and that we see here a picture of the believers actually saying, God, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit to continue to do the thing that just put us into prison? I mean, does this make sense to you this morning? That people would literally be in the chukki for preaching the gospel, that God does a miracle, they're released from prison, and they come back and they said, God, would you grant us the boldness to continue to speak the gospel? And we see here that God actually grants them that request, that all of them again are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of this is the boldness that they then carry to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you this morning, are you lacking boldness in your walk with God? You know, are you lacking boldness to actually share the gospel with your colleagues? Are you lacking boldness to share the gospel with your family? Are you lacking boldness to share the gospel with the people who are living in your complex or in your street? This morning, if you are lacking that, we just like these disciples, can come to God this morning and say, God, would you give us the boldness? Would you fill us with your Spirit so that we too can be bold to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? So there's always an empowering and an enabling that causes us to live and to act in ways we cannot act when we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I believe this morning that if we are struggling in whatever area, I truly believe and we're going to trust together this morning that God would come. And like only He can. This is something that I cannot give you. This is something that the elders of this church cannot give you. But this is something that God Himself has actually made available for each and every single one of us. So this morning, I want to invite us actually to kick against the boxes of our culture. I want to invite us this morning to kick against the boxes of our traditions, to kick against the boxes of our religion, of our intellectualism, of our personalities, of our perfectionism, and to actually even to kick against the boxes of other people's perceptions of us. Because I feel like one of the reasons why we struggle to give ourselves fully to the work of the Holy Spirit is we think, what are people going to say about me? This is not how I was raised. You know, this is not how I'm used, church being. This is not about a church. It's not about a personality thing. It's not about a denominational thing. This is about what the Bible says God's desire is. And God's desire is that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, regardless of your history, regardless of your experience, regardless of how you were saved and what you were saved into. I believe that there's some of us who are sitting here, and maybe you come from a little bit of a conservative or traditional background, and you're wrestling with this even as I'm reading this morning. But I pray that even as I'm sharing, that you can just in a sense, just hear that this is not Godfrey speaking, but this is the Bible. This is the Bible speaking to us this morning. So it's not something that I say, oh, as Jos Gen, this is what we do. It's not a Jos Gen thing. This is a Bible thing. This is a Christianity thing. This is being a son and a daughter of God thing. This is something that Joel prophesied, and he said, even on male and female servants, I want them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Where he says, even sons and daughters will be filled, and they will prophesy, that young men will see visions. It's God's desire to do this work in all of us. And may I say this very respectfully, that sometimes we need actually to be willing to look foolish. And I know that in this day and age that we're living in, and especially in this environment that we're living in, that we're actually scared of this. That actually, if I'm giving myself, if I'm going to give myself to the Holy Spirit, I might do things that are outside of my personality. You know, God might do things through me that I'm not totally comfortable with. You know, a lady came into our church last year when we also were preaching into the Holy Spirit, and she said, Godfrey, I hear all this Holy Spirit thing, but I'm actually... I don't want to lose control of my body. Like, I love being in control of my body. You know, and I got to sit down with her and tell her that it's not about, you know, you losing control of your body. Like, God will never embarrass you like that. You know, I think sometimes we look at extreme situations of what happens out there. We see unhelpful things of people abusing actually what looks like the Holy Spirit, which I believe at times it's not even the Holy Spirit at work, but it is a spirit that is at work. And we see those things. And then when we come into, you know, environments like this, we come with all of those stories and all of those videos and all of those images. And we think that is what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it is not. And I believe that God would actually want us to surrender those ideas and actually surrender some of those traumas that we've seen, and actually to say, God, we trust you to actually teach us how this thing actually works. So we need to sometimes be willing to look a little bit foolish. And even sometimes to appear not completely together. And I know that there's that's a thought that for some of us who are seated right now, it makes you nervous. It makes me nervous. Because I like being in control. I like doing things that I'm comfortable with. I like doing things that I find easy doing. But I find that more and more and more and more God calls me to a place of actually just operating outside of my flesh. So that He can use me by His Spirit however He wants to use me. And maybe just to put you at ease this morning, that one of the first things in Acts 2 that was said about the early church when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the first conclusion that people came to was that these people are drunk. That's the first thing that actually the early church was called. It's like, it's just, you know, just drunk. You know, they are drunkards. And I'm so glad that God raised people like Peter up who could stand in that environment, actually to remind people that, hey guys, this is actually something that God Himself has declared many years ago that this day would come. I want to ask us a question this morning, that we see a picture in John 20 where the disciples receive the Holy Spirit as Jesus breathes on them. We see in Acts 2 that they receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see in Acts 4 that actually, again, they get filled and they get boldness to proclaim the gospel. So we see even the same groupings of people in all three of those instances. And I'm asking myself this morning that if the early disciples who walked with Jesus actually needed to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit, how much more should you and I in this day and age that we're living in not being continually filled with the Holy Spirit? How much more should we be asking God to fill us with His Spirit? You know, Somerset West is probably a little bit similar as Stellenbosch, but we're finding it that Stellenbosch is becoming increasingly difficult to evangelize. It's becoming all the more difficult for people to actually accept the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ. And we realize that this is not something that we can do in our own ideas and all of that as a church, but actually we need to lean into, you know, the Holy Spirit. That people would actually encounter the Holy Spirit so that their eyes can be opened and that they can receive salvation. So, Andre, I want to end off with this last point and saying, it is possible to be saved. It is possible for you and I to be baptized, yet not have experienced the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I know this morning that's a very contentious statement to make. But I truly believe it's possible to be saved. It's possible to be baptized, but to not have experienced yet the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to consider with me the following verse. And I'll just share one, but I have others that I can just put in front of you if it's needed. So Acts 8 verse 14 to 17 says the following. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Listen to these words. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands, Peter and John, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So these people they'd received the word. They'd heard, you know, about the baptism in water. But we see clearly here that they were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, that Philip the evangelist is actually busy evangelizing and God is doing an incredible work in Acts 8. And we see Peter and John had to be taken from Jerusalem actually to come and to lay their hands on the disciples so that they too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in the same way, I believe it is possible that among us here this morning, that there are those who maybe have heard about the word and they received the word, that they've been baptized, but not yet received or actually experienced what it feels like to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I want to be careful this morning that this does not mean that you are not saved. That this does not mean that there's something wrong with you. That this doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven one day. That is not what I'm saying. Rather, it means that this morning there is an invitation for you and I to ask and to also in that place receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning there must be an openness in all of our hearts actually towards the work of the Holy Spirit. We need to come to a place of actually submitting ourselves to God and His Word more than we do our traditions and our personal comforts and our personal preferences. Because the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of man. He is not a respecter of man. So we need to actually, even this morning, bring our flesh to submission and to say, Lord, we are willing to look however you want us to look as you fill us with your Spirit. I want to end off with these words that God desires. This morning, I believe that those who have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they will receive the Spirit. And that those who have received, they should be filled. Now, there is a condition to this morning. And that condition is that we open up our hearts, that we actually ask God to come